Today's daf is a Vodazar daf Samach. We left off in daf Nun Tes Amid Beis. We are at the story that is three lines from the bottom of the page, I believe. I think that's where we left off. So, Hahi Chavisa Dechamra, right? There was a barrel of wine. The Ishtakal Barza, that the spout was removed from the barrel of wine. Asa Ovid Chavim Idri Anach Yadi Lave. So, the word Idri we keep saying means like he jumped up. He was the first one to go and respond. So, he sees that the spout fell, Nebuch fell out of this barrel of wine. The wine is going to start pouring out. So, he goes and he sticks his hand over it to save all the wine. So, the question is, what's that considered? Is he touching all the wine in the barrel now? Is that considered that he's touching part of the wine in the barrel? How do we view this wine? So Amar of Papa called the Lahadi Barza Chamra Asir. So Rav Papa says we have to split it. We have to view it as follows: anything that's right near the spout, so that wine that's right near the spout is all going to be Asir. The Idach Shari, but the rest of the wine is going to be Mutter. How do we figure out what's near the spout, what's not near the spout? What does that mean exactly? So Rashi explains: called the Lahadi Barza Chamra Asir Kilua Chasamach Lenekev Asir. Whatever flow of wine would come right near that hole is asr b'shtia v'lo b'hana'a, Rashi says. It's only asr to drink, but it's not asr b'hana'a. Shrei in kan shichshuch sh'anekav tsar v'niyoch l'shachshech. The hole is too small for him to stick his finger in and actually start moving it around and upsetting the wine or doing anything to it. All he can do is really just hold his finger there, hold his hand there, and stop the wine from coming out. So since you don't have any shichshuch, Rashi says, it can't be that it's asr b'hana'a, but it's going to be asr b'shtia. So when we say that it's asr, it means only asr b'shtia, and then therefore, by definition, when we say v'idach shari, we mean that v'idach ishari, the rest of it is mutter, af b'shtia, even, it's mutter even to drink, and that's what Rashi says on the top, v'idach shari af b'shtia, de kasavar tstadin lav chibra l'asr kalayayin, that he holds that the fact that it's right next to it, that it's tstadin, is not enough of a connection to make all the wine asr. Now, that is the psak that Rav Papa gives in the first lashon. Now, then the Gemara goes just one line further. V'ikada Amri Amar Rav Papa. There's an ikada Amri that Rav Papa holds. Ad Abar Zechamra Asir V'idach Shari. That no, we don't look at just what's directly across from where he's touching his asir and everything else is going to be mutter, but rather any wine that's above the hole that he is holding over is all going to be asr, because that's all considered connected to that hole, because by the force of gravity, he's holding all that wine up. By plugging the hole, all the wine that's above the hole would have been able to fall out, to drip out. So he's considered to be touching all the wine that's above the hole, and all of that is asr. The rest is going to be mutter. Now, if you look back at that tap Rashi, so this is the sheet of Rav Papa, says Rashi, but you should know, v'les hilchsa kavasei, damuki rav yemer milsi rav papa ketanai, it happens to be that we don't paskin like Rav Papa, because we're going to see that Rav Yemer holds that Rav Papa's statement is actually the subject of machlokas tanaim, v'kimle Rav Papa k'Rav Yehuda d'yichida'a, and when you look at who the players are in that machlokas tanaim, it's Rav Yehuda against the Chachamim, Rav Yehuda's a das yachid, and Rav Papa ends up paskining like the sheet of Rav Yehuda, v'yachid Rabbim, Malacha Karabim, the Pligi Rabbanan Alev, Amri, Bein Mitzida, Bein Ripia, Tamea, Dekulan Chibur, and we would always pass like the Rabbanan against the Yachid, against Rabbi Yehuda. So Rav Papa goes with the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to pass like the Rabbanan, who are more Machmir, who say that all of the wine, Bein Mitzideha, Bein Mipiha, wherever it is, all of that wine is going to be Asr. So that's Rashi. If you take a look, if you take a look at Tosfos, in this very long Tosfos of Yadibra Maskal Amar Rav Papa, so Tosfos goes through the whole sugya according to Rashi, he reads the whole sugya according to Rashi, and then he says, about 10 lines into the Tosfos, toward the end of the line, V'kasha lahach lishna da'amar ad barza asr. He says, what's difficult, the difficulty he finds with this is, take a look at the second lashon. The second lashon tells us ad barza asr, that anything above the level of where you're touching the wine, of where the guy is holding the wine, is going to be asr. Heichi yezesh hayayin kula mu'urav says, how's this shaykh? How's it possible that all of the wine is mixed together? It's all in one barrel, and it's a liquid, so it's not distinct from each other. There's no part, there's no dividing line. So, and yet, some of it is going to be mutter, and some of it's going to be asr b'shtiyah. Behana would make sense, because behana, you could just say, sell the whole thing, and be mashlich, the demei ha'isr liyam ha'melech, and you just throw away whatever the value is of the iser. But by b'shtia, how do you ever have such a thing? So the l'chein nir l'farish to ad barza aser zeu bana. Then when we say ad barza aser, it's not like Rashi says that it's aser b'shtia. When we say aser mutter, we're talking about aser b'shtia, mutter b'shtia. No, aser means it's aser b'hana. V'atam, and the reason is kimiyat. Rashi said it can't be aser b'hana. You're not being meshach sheikh. That it should only be aser b'hana if the guy is being meshach sheikh. But over here, he doesn't have enough wiggle room, literally, to be meshach sheikh. So kimiyat sheniftach hanek of nisna kol ayayin. Sha'ada barzalatzes derech sham ukshasam yado al nekav nista makol milatzes. So says Tosfos, no, the second the hole is opened up, all of the wine starts moving toward that hole to be poured out, to pour itself out. The guy then sticks his hand there and holds it all back. V'chashiv kilu naga bekulo. So it's considered as if he touched all of it. V'idach sharibana av b'shtia asr b'nei ayayin asr ha'shochiv alav. And then all of the rest of the wine that's below the level of where the hole is, let's say the hole is in the middle of the barrel, all the rest of the wine is going to be mutter b'hana'a, but still going to be asr b'shtia. Why should it be asr b'shtia? It's asr b'shtia because it is supporting a whole bunch of asr wine. So since it is it is supporting a whole bunch of asr wine, that's going to be asr as well. We have that in a few different areas in halacha. They're not really related to each other, but in a few different areas of halacha, we have the idea that when something is supporting something else, so that affects the status of the entire item. That having a support, you have by sukkah, maimid b'davram akabal tumah, the support makes a difference also. You have in tumah and tahara, you have by in hilchos nida, for instance, one of the classic shailas that rabbanim get all the time is a woman finds a stain on toilet paper. So what do you do about a kesem that's found on toilet paper? So Moshe has a tshuva where he said, don't worry, toilet paper is not makabal tumah. But there's a sidrei tahara that says, yeah, toilet paper is not makabal tumah, but when the woman finds a stain on the toilet paper, normally she's holding it, and she's mekabel tuma. So since she's supporting, she's holding the thing that's mekabel tuma, therefore it should be a problem. That's the sheet of the Sidrei Tahara. Okay, we don't paskin like that. I don't know of any poskim, at least, that paskin like that. But do you see that this concept of that which supports something else affects the whole thing? That's also, that comes up all over the place in halacha. But anyway... So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi in Pshat in the Gemara. Just what are they arguing about? What are we, when we say Mutar Asr, are we talking Shtia or are we talking Hana? So Rashi says Shtia, Tosfos says Hana. Not only does Tosfos argue in Rashi in Pshat in the Gemara, he also argues in Rashi in Psak. Generally, Rashi doesn't get involved in Psak, but over here, Rashi does get involved in Psak, and he says, look, we don't pass like Rav Papa, because Yachid V'Rabim, Halacha K'Rabim, and Rav Papa's going like a Das Yachid of Rabbi Yehuda against the Sheet of the Rabbanan. So says Tosfos, pasul pekuntros les hilchos k'rav papa da kimli k'rav Yehuda di yichidahu v'halacha k'rabim d'lamaflik ben pia v'shul yildat stodeha. We happen to pass on like the rabbim. Says Tosfos, I disagree. Ve'in tam l'psak, said, there's no reason for such a psak. To become a duchti paskinon k'yachad l'gabe rabbim. Come on, just because of yachad v'rabim, that's going to be enough to pass on against Rav Papa? There's dozens of examples in Shas where we pass on like a das yachad against the rabbim. I don't understand this kasha. What do you mean? So, therefore, we should pass on like the yachid? I mean, the rule is still yachid rabim alach rabim. Yes, there are exceptions to every rule. And there are cases in Shas where we pass on like a yachid against the rabim because of a variety of reasons. I'm sure there are many reasons why we might pass on. Maybe there are conflicting klalei psak that lead us in another direction. But Tosfos doesn't offer any. He just says, come on, you're not going to pass on that way. You just because it's a yachid v'rabim. What do you mean? Why not? He gives you a little bit of a hint with his own shita. He says, but you know what? It's not because of Yachid V'Rabim. He says, I agree. We don't pass like Rav Papa. But not because of Yachid V'Rabim. Rather, we don't pass like Rav Papa because Rava Paligale. Afagav de Hubasra, Yosem Mirava, Mishum de Rava Rabba, Vagam Hubasra. Very interesting idea, Tosa says. Even though generally we have another rule in Psak that Hilsa Kabasra, and Rav Papa is more of a Basra'a than Rava. Rav Papa was the Talmud of Rava, therefore he came after Rava, so you would think that Hilchsa Basra'a would lead you in the direction of Rav Papa. So it tells Hilchsa Basra'a cannot be viewed on such a micro scale. This guy was 7 months older than the other guy, so he's a Basra'a. So he's not a Basra'a, the younger guy's a Basra'a. You're not going to say that. You're not going to go so narrow in your definition of Basra'a. Rav Papa and Rava lived in the same generation. Rav Papa was a Talmud of Rava. So Rava was also Basra'a. Basra'a means from the later generations of Amoraim. That's how Tosfos understands the concept of Basra'a, which is also a Chiddush. That it doesn't mean the latest. It means, you know, in the general later area of Amoraim. So Rava and Rav Papa, yeah, they're both Basra'a. And once you have that they're both Basra'a, plus, Rava was the Rebbe, so that's why we're going to pass against Rav Papa. So Tosfos doesn't really argue with Rashi in how to paskin, but in how we arrive at the Pesach. They both say, we're not going to paskin like Rav Papa. Rashi says, because he's a Das Yachid. Tosfos says, nah, Das Yachid is not a psul in paskining. So he says, it's because he's not as authoritative as his own Rebbe, Rava. Now, if you look at Tosfos, and this Tosfos goes on for a while, on Samach Amud Aleph, in the fifth skinny line, he revisits this issue of Yachid V'Rabim. U'mashik sh'Rabbeinu Tam de'bekam aduchti paskin ki'yachid l'gabe Rabim, haynu k'shapasuk behedya kavasei. So then he says, you know, Rabbeinu Tam's kasha is not the strongest kasha. The fact that he says that there are many times that we paskin like a Yachid against the Rabim, so Tosfos says, that's really only true. When he paskins beferish, he says, look, I'm aware of this machlokas tana'im, I know that there's a Rabim against the Yachid, and I'm paskining like the Yachid anyway. So then you'll paskin like the Yachid against the Rabim. Avol hacha dilma b'raisa lo shmiyalei the Rav Papa, v'dilmi ishmiyalei the Rabbanim paligalei, have a hadrbe. But over here, Rav Papa makes no reference to any earlier machlokas tanaim. He just tells you what he thinks the shita is, what he thinks the psak should be. Now, maybe if Rav Papa had known that there was a machlokas tanaim, and that he's taking on the Rabbanan over here, that he's going up against the Rabbanan, maybe he would have been moda. It's like the Mishnah Nidio says, the only reason we mention the Das Yachid against the Das Rabim when we're not going to paskin like the Yachid anyway is so that if a later generation were to come along and say, hey, I have an idea how we should paskin, and it's going to turn out that what he's saying is a Shitas HaYachid that's already been rejected, we could show him, look, don't worry, you're not the first person to think of this, it's not a bad idea, but it's wrong la'alacha because we paskin like the Rabim. So maybe had Rav Papa known, maybe Rav Papa, had he known that there was a Rabim that disagreed with him, maybe he would have been Chazer. So don't tell me that because in general in Shas sometimes we paskin like the Yachid, that's when the Yachid knew what the Rabbim had to say. So he said, L'kach nirlo, de'ein alach krav papa, mitam dekim liki yichidah. So he says, no, that's why Rashi said that the Alach is not like Rav Papa, because Rav Papa is going like a Das Yachid. And who knows, maybe Rav Papa would have changed his mind had he had the opportunity. There is an important rush over here as well. The rush in Simon Yud Beis in the back of the Gemara says as follows. He asked Tosfos Kasha about how you could have a taroves of liquid, and some of it's going to be mutter b'shtia, some of it's going to be aser b'shtia. He gives Tosfos' answer that b'shtia, it's definitely aser. And the whole discussion in the Gemara is all about hana'ah. But then he says, The most difficult thing about the Yayin Nesach Sugyas is putting all of the stories together, all of the Gemaras together, and actually coming up with rules. Because each line of Gemara makes perfect sense, but actually figuring out, okay, so what's called Negiyah de Davar Acher, what's called Shechshuch, what's called Kavana, and actually coming up with what the rule is. You know, Lemaisa, my housekeeper's in the house, and she moved the wine in the refrigerator, and she didn't shake it, she just moved it aside. Is it us or is it not? And the wine was open. Is it us or is it not us? We haven't seen anything in the Gemara yet that would tell us that it's us. Right? So what's the issue over here? So the hardest thing, I'm not going to answer that question right now, but we'll get to that. But the hardest thing to come up with when you're learning the Sugya Yayin Nesach is, let's make the Gemaras actually talk to each other. Let's make them work with each other. So Frek the Rush, I don't understand. What's going on over here? The guy sticks his hand on the hole to try to save the wine. That's called Shalab Kavana. He's Taru, he's not Menasech. Why is this any different than Medad Biyad? Then the guy who's in charge of the Midos sticking his hand in to measure the level of the wine by seeing how high it comes up on his arm. Where we say, oh, he's Tarud in his Malacha and his work, even when he's pulling it out, he's still Tarud because he's still paying attention to exactly what the measurement is, and that's going to be totally fine. But over here it's Aser. Over here he's not Tarud. So it says the Rosh, V'tiri to Ravidzal, Shahayusham Yehudim Omdim, V'ilav Kivin Lanasech, Amai Kadim Ihu. He says the situation over here in our Gemara must be that there were a lot of Jews around also. And the Gemara emphasized that what happened, even though there were Jews around, Asa Ovid Chavim Idri Anach Yadei Yilaveh. He jumped up to be the first one to respond. Why did he want to be the first one to respond? Anyone there could have done this. Everyone there would have done it had he not, you know, shoved them all out of the way and gotten there first to try to cover up the hole in the barrel. So says the Ravid, it must be that he was having Kavanah L'Nasech, that he wanted to be the guy to be there so that he could have Kavanah L'Nasech. So Harbi Mitzilin, Hayuliyayin Chutz Mimenu, because there were a lot of other people that could have saved the wine besides for him. That's how the Ravid understands. The Rush disagrees. V'loni Hirili, Te'emer Limtzochein, Olistaker. Isn't it possible that the reason he jumped and was the first one to do it is just because he's a doer? He's the kind of guy that wants to do the right thing, that wants to, or he thinks that you're going to pay him for this, or he just wants you to like him, so he wants... There are all sorts of possibilities. If there's logic to assume that it might be mutter, why would we say that that it's asur misafek? And he says, according to the Ravid, you have to go through all the other Mishnayos that discuss similar cases and say, oh, and every time you have a heter, say, oh, must be ain't Shom Yisrael, must be that there's no Yisrael there. But whenever Yisrael is there, the Ravid's coming up with a new rule. Whenever a Jew is anywhere in the vicinity, it's automatically going to be Asr, because what's the guy the one doing by jumping up and taking care of it? So the Rush doesn't think that that's true. It's too much of an akimta to make in all of the Mishnayos. What do you do with the kasha, though? The kasha was a good kasha. Why is this less of a tirda than the guy who measures the wine by sticking his hand in it? So the Rush is not such a good kasha. You can't compare different levels of tirda. Do we know what a tirda is? Everyone's preoccupied with something. How much of a preoccupation is considered enough of a preoccupation to take away a chashash of kavanah l'naseich? I don't know. We just have to rely on the Gemara for that. And when the Gemara tells us that medida is enough of a tirda, this is not enough of a tirda. You got to take their word. It's hard. These are not quantifiable. The levels of tirda are not quantifiable. It's very difficult to measure. So yeah, you just have to take the Gemara's word that this is what it is. You can't ask such kashas. Come on, why is this tirda any different than that tirda, which is any different than that tirda? You can't ask any such kashas. You just have to assume that what the Gemara calls a tirda is a tirda. What the Gemara doesn't call a tirda is not a tirda. So says the Gemara Vayter, second line on Daf Samach Amud Aleph, Amar Rav Yemar Kitanais. Rav Yemar says, in fact, this statement of Rav Papa is subject to Machlokas Tanaim. This is what we were just referring to before when we were saying that Rav Papa is going against the Rabbim and assuming like a Das Yachid. How is this against? How is the statement of Rav Papa subject to Machlokas Tanaim? There's a Mishnah in Meseches Tevul Yom. So what does the Mishnah say in Meseches Tevul Yom? Chavish Shenakva, a barrel that gets a hole in it. Bein Mipia, Bein Mishulya, Bein Mitzideha, whether it's at the top of the barrel, the bottom of the barrel, or the sides of the barrel. V'nagabo Tevul Yom, and the Tevul Yom touches it, Tameya, it becomes Tameh. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, wait, it depends. Mipia, Mishulya, Tameya. If it's at the top or at the bottom of the barrel, then it's going to be Tameh. Mitzideha, Tahora, Mikanu, Mikan. But if the hole was at the side of the barrel, so then it's going to be tar mikan mikan, meaning the actual area where he touches itself in a chinami is going to be tameh. But the other wine that's not directly across from where he's touching, that's going to be tahar mikan mikan. Which shita lines up with Rav Papa? Very clearly, the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that even though you're holding in the wine with your finger, with your hand, nevertheless, only the wine that's directly across from your hand is going to be asr. All the rest of the wine is going to be mutter, exactly like the shita of Rav Papa. Rav Papa and Rabbi Yehuda line up, but you see the shita of the Tanakama, which is the Chachamim, disagrees, and apparently, that's the Das Rabbim. So that's why Rashi said, we're not going to pass him like Rav Papa. Amar Rav Papa, next statement. Amar Rav Papa, brand new case. Ovid Chavim, Adonav Yisrael Akuva, Chamra Asir. What if you have the following case? An Ovid Chavim is taking wine from a barrel, and he's pouring the wine into another barrel that's being held by a Jew. So a Jew is on the bottom, holding an empty barrel, and the guy is pouring wine directly into the Jew's barrel. So the wine is going to be Asir in that case. My time, why is the wine going to be asr? Ki kasi mikol chavit chavim kasi. Because the wine is clearly coming from the koch of an ovid chavim. He's doing all the pouring. He's the one that's pouring the wine from one to the other. So it's pashut that it's going to be asr. If you look at Rashi says, chamra asr behana'a. that it's not just asr to drink, it's actually asr to even get hanah from. Now, the Ritva points out that Rashi on Chesam and Aleph seems to... The Ritva on Nun Chesam and Aleph points out that Rashi on Nun Chesam and Beis, Dibur Maskel Salka Daite, seems to imply that Kochu Shal Goy B'Kavanas Yayin, when the guy does it through Kochu, when he doesn't touch it directly, it's only through his Kochu that the wine is being poured. Even when he has Kavana for the wine, it's only Asr B'Shtia, it's not Asr B'Hana'a. That's how Rashi says. And Tosus also, Nun Chesam and Beis, Dibur Maskel Ella, says the same way, B'Shem Rabbeinu Tam, that it's only Asr B'Shtia, not Asr B'Hana'a. So says the Ritva, must be that over here, by the case of the Ovid Chav Madana of Yisrael HaKuva, that the Chamer Zasr must be that it means B'Shtia, not B'Hana'a, like Rashi says over here. So the Ramban and the Ran, they say that it's a Tal Sofer in Rashi. Ramban and the Ran say that it must be a typo in Rashi. Rashi can't mean B'Hana'a, he must mean that it's only Asr B'Shtia. And in fact, the Rush over here in Simon Yud Gimel says that in some of the versions of Rashi, you actually find that it says Asr B'Shtia, not Asr B'Hana'a. So there are versions of Rashi that have a more correct girsa that says Asr B'Hana'a, not Asr B'Shtia. Now Tosa makes a major exception to this rule. Again, the Gemara said that the guy is pouring the wine into a barrel that's being held by a Jew, so that wine is going to be Asr. So Tosa says, yeah, V'dafka ki shafa chovik chavim levado. That's only if the guy is doing all the pouring by himself. Right in the middle of Tosa Zimmer Maskelovik chavim, that's only if the guy is doing all the pouring himself. And also the halacha we're going to have in two lines from now, where he's mitzadeh, we'll see in a second, that's also only if he does it himself. But if a Jew helps him out, everything automatically is going to be mutter. It's even going to be mutter b'shtia. Whenever we say that a koch of an ovik chavim is going to be enough to make something aser, whenever you have a koch acher mu'urav bo, whenever you have someone else helping out, that's going to be enough to make it mutter. So if a Jew and a guy do it together, they pour the wine together, that's going to be mutter. Now, so it's also still mil chachila aser. You still shouldn't do this chachila. If it's done, the wine doesn't become aser. But this is certainly not recommended. That Rav is going to say on Dafayin Beis and Beis that he advised people, when you go and pour wine, don't have Goyim come and help you. So even though it's not going to ask for the wine, still we see Beferish Gemara that L'Chadchila, it's not the appropriate thing to do. So far the Gemara only had one case, one case that wasn't particularly difficult. A guy pouring the wine into a Jew's barrel, so that's going to be Asr. That seems like a no-brainer that it should be Asr. The question is, Achila Hana, but whatever, it's definitely going to be Asr on some level. What if you have it the reverse? Yisrael Adonav Avichav Makuva Chamra Shari. If it's a Jew pouring the wine into a barrel held by a non-Jew, then the wine is going to be mutter. But if mitzadid studi aser, but if the guy moves around the barrel a little bit to the side, then it's going to be aser. Why is that going to be aser? So Rashi has two deos over here. Yeah, if he comes mitzadid studi lukuva Chamra aser. So says Rashi. What's the gears over here? Ubekuva Malay Askinan, we're dealing with a very full barrel that he's holding. Dilma Naga, and the concern is that we're afraid he's going to touch it. That it's not that he's moving it, it's that he's going to touch it. It's full, so he can't shake it. If he would shake it will all spill out. But since it's so full, he might touch it. Lishnachrina, the other possible pshat in Rashi, afil chasronami mishum de mekarkish le lechamra vekima de mekarkish bekavana that havalei kocha bekavana va'asr b'shtia. The other lashon is that no, even if it's not full, and therefore there's less of a concern that he's going to actually touch the wine, but there's more of a concern that he could be mekarkish, that he's going to shake it a little bit. And once he shakes it and he has kavana to shake it, that's called kocha bekavana. And whenever there's kocha bekavana, it becomes asr b'shtia, becomes asr to drink. So it's interesting. Rashi understood, if you just follow the flow of the halachos in our Gemara, when a guy is pouring the wine into a barrel held by a Jew, so we said Rashi holds that's Asr, the Gemara said. And Rashi said, yeah, that means bahana'a. When a Jew pours into a guy and then the guy moves it, he's mitzadeh that's today, that's also asr. And Rashi says, yeah, but over there the word asr means asr b'shtia. So it's very interesting. If it's not a typo in Rashi, it's very strange that the Gemara is going to have the word asr two lines apart from each other, talking about, you know, in the same context, in the same type of cases, and one is going to be asr b'shtia, one's going to be asr b'hana, and the Gemara never gives any indication that it means two different kinds of asr. So it's very unusual if we're supposed to take that Rashi and not assume it's a typo. Much easier to assume like the Ran and the Ramban that it's a typo, or like the Rush's other versions of Rashi where he did say asr b'shtia and not asr b'hana'a. Otherwise the Gemara doesn't really read so straight. Amrav Papa, Hayov Chacham the Dari Zika v'kazul Yisrael Acharei. What if you have a guy who's holding a barrel of wine, he's carrying a barrel of wine, he's bringing it somewhere, and there's a Jew walking behind him? So Mal Yashari Dilam Karkesh, if it's full, it's mutter because it doesn't shake around. Since it's full, he wouldn't shake it around. If he shook it around too much, it would spill. We're assuming that it's open. That if it's open, then he can't shake it around at all. Chaseira Asir Dilma Mekarkesh. I'm sorry, it's not open, right? Rashi says, if you look at Rashi, Zika Nod Kosher, it's tied up on top, so it's not open. But anyway, so if it's full, it's mutter because he can't shake it. Chaseira, if it's not full, then it's Asir Dilma Mekarkesh because we're afraid he was able to shake it around a little. Kuva Malia Asir Dilma Naga. If it's a full kuva, then it's going to be asr. Kuva is another type of kli, then it's going to be asr, lest he touch it. Chaseira shari delo naga. Kuva must be open, where there's a concern not of shaking, the concern is that you're going to touch it. So if it's full, then there's a concern that you're going to touch it. Since it's open at the top, it's very likely that you can touch it. But if it's chaser, it's going to be mutter, because then there's no concern that you're going to be able to touch it. And I guess there's also no concern of shaking it around, because if it's open, you're really going to spill, even if it's chaser, when it's open. If you look at Rashi, kuva chasera shari de'in kirkush b'kli pasuach. Right, Rashi says exactly that. You wouldn't shake an open kli. That's ridiculous. It's like sometimes you pick up the orange juice and shake it, and you know, every once in a while it happens. You forget that the cap's not on top. And that doesn't end well. It's not nice when you. It's not a good thing. You would never shake something that's a kli pasuach. V'afgav the chidari lei iaf shablo kirkush ma'at. Now Rashi says, but wait a second. The guy's moving it from place to place. He's carrying it. Doesn't that necessarily shake it? If you bring in, you carry hot soup from the kitchen to the dining room table. If the bowl is too full, it's very difficult not to spill. It moves around. You're trying to keep your hands as steady like a surgeon, but you're not a surgeon, so it moves around a little bit. That's the way things work when you're carrying things from place to place. So how could you say there's no kirkush? So says Rashi, afagav dechidari le'iyef shablo kirkush ma'at, kimen lo nichle b'kirkushe, dilma mishtapach, since you don't want it to be shaking around, you're trying your best not to get it to shake because you don't want it spilling. Havle kocha shelo b'kavana mutter. That's called kocha shelo b'kavana, and it's going to be mutter. Havle zika v'kirkush v'dom l'mechashkesh v'avinesach. But by the zika, it's closed, so you have no problem with shaking it. When it's closed, you're totally okay with the shaking around of the jug. So that's why we say the Zika is going to... Ravashi Amar, now Ravashi says... So again, what was the Shita of Rav Papa? So if it's a Zika, Rav Papa held, if it's full, it's mutter, because it's not going to shake. If it's chaser, it's aser, because it's going to shake. But a kuva, if it's full, it's aser, it's the reverse. If it's full, it's aser. If it's not full, it's mutter. Ravashi says, a Zika ben malya ben chaser rashari. Now, a Zika, which is a closed jug, whether it's closed bag, whether it's full or whether it's chaser, it's always going to be mutter. What about the idea that it's going to shake around if it's chaser and therefore should be aser? So my timer, what's the reason to say it's mutter? Ein derech nisluch b'kach. That's not the normal way to be menasech. And since that's not the normal way to be menasech, it's not, even if you do shake it around, it's not going to be a problem. That's the shita of Rav Ashi. Now Tosfos picks up on this ein derech nisluch b'kach. So Tosfos says, in the third line of Tosfos, mikan yesh lumod, in the third line, it tells the Gemara Maskil Zika, umikan yesh lumot shem yesh kan nod shel orach mala yayin. Let's say you have a leather, soft leather bag full of wine. Afal pishov chavim dochek umagia defanosav zelazeh. Even though the guy squeezes it and he actually touches the walls one against the other by squeezing both sides, he squeezes it entirely to kasher. Kivan de in derech misuch bekach, because it's in derech misuch. Again, this is one of those slippery rules. When do you say it's in derech misuch? When do you say it's derech misuch? Tosos does not hesitate to apply this rule of in derech misuch. Umikan hiter rabbeinu tam al barza sheisu rufui bechavis val stima samagufa sheisu rufuya, where there were certain spouts or seals of barrels that were weakening al pi achavis u ba'ov ikham mihidik, and the guy came along and he tightened it up. V'gam b'pitim gadol shaloha yu ashulayim u'udakum v'yuhudi v'som na'ores v'yatovsa neged ha'nekev u'mana k'tzasa yayin latzeis, or a Jew does a patch job on a leaky barrel v'lo kol kach, but he doesn't do such a great job u'ba ha'nagar ovikavim until a non-Jewish carpenter comes v'amido b'hiduk, and he does a really good job k'neged ha'sedek b'sakin, right where the crack is with the knife at shasasim ha'sedek calls a hitr mitam shayim adam kalil ha'maisim l'not shal ha'rach shayin derech nisuch. All that Rabbeinu Tam said is mutter. All those cases where the guy is going and he's helping and he's doing, they're all mutter because it's saying derech nisuch pekach. V'gamri horal esmachal hatazayim yotzu af klishish pesukim pe lebal din nachlok. And the Ri also was somech on this kula. Why does Tosafot have to point out that they're being somech on a kula that appears in the Gemara? Because like we said, all of these kulas are so difficult to apply. Tirda, derech nisuch. These concepts are not quantifiable, they're not measurable, they're not easily discernible. So Tosfos has to point out, this one we can keep. This one is okay, Tosfos says. And then he says, but the Ri points out, even though, yeah, we can use this kula, there's makom lebal din lachlok. What's the makom lebal din lachlok? And how do you know? How do you know what's called derech and what's not called derech? It's just so difficult. Yain nesuch sugis are mamish. I mean, by far the most difficult sugis are mesechus of Avodah Zarah, but very, very difficult sugis in terms of just figuring out how to get to the bottom line halacha from the Gemara. Okay, says the Gemara further. Ma'atzara zayara, Rav Papa Shari, Rav Ashi Vitim, Rav Sim Barashi, Aser. A ma'atzara zayara, what is a ma'atzara zayara? So Rashi says it's some type of wine press where they don't walk on the grapes to soften them up. They actually have a pressing stone that goes down on the grapes and presses them. So the ma'atzara zayara, Rav Ashi and Rav Papi held is mutter, when apparently talking about when a guy operates it, and Rav Ashi and Rav Sim Barashi said it's aser. So b'kocha dukol yam lo pligi da aser. When you're doing it with direct kocha, when the grapes are being squeezed from your koch, meaning you're there are boards, let's say, covering the grapes, and you push down on those boards, so you're putting your weight directly on those boards, so that's kocho, then everyone's going to say it's aser. Ki pligi b'koch kocho. The machlokas is if it's koch kocho, meaning that there's some sort of wheel that you turn on the side, and that lowers the stone or the boards onto the grapes, so you're not even putting your weight on that stone, it's just you're turning something on the side that lowers it through some sort of pulley system. So and that's called kocho, and that's where there's machlokas. That's where the Amoraim disagree. Ikadamri, others have a different version of the machlokas. When it's indirect koach, you're on the side spinning that wheel, so then everyone would hold that it's mutter. Ki pligi b'kocho. The machlokas is when it's your direct koch. Hava uvda b'koch kocho, va'asar Rav Yaakov min Arpakod. There was a story that happened with koch kocho, and Rav Yaakov min Arpakod held that it was asar in the case of koch kocho. So that's a sign that koch kocho is not the case where everyone agrees that it's going to be mutter, that it must have at least been machlokas by koch kocho, because Rav Yaakov min Arpakod held that it's asar in that case. Period. So there was a certain barrel, the ifka ala orcha, that split down the middle, down the length of the barrel. There was a crack that developed along the length of the barrel, and if it were allowed to remain that way, it would slowly develop into a larger crack and larger till all the wine spilled out. So Idriya hu avid chav muchavka. So a guy jumps up and wants to save the wine in the barrel, so he hugs the barrel, meaning to squeeze it tight to close up the crack. Shari Rafim Bar Papa. Rafim Bar Papa said that's fine. The wine in the barrel is totally mutter. Vitem Rafun Bar Yeshua lizvun lov dechavim. Totally mutter to sell. It's mutter b'hana. That Rafim Bar Papa, Rafun Bar Yeshua said you can go and sell that wine to an avid chavim. You don't have to worry about any isra hana. Why? So Rashi explains the lo shichshich because he wasn't meshachshich. He didn't shake it. Va'afilu shekiri vechatzan zulzu va'vinogeh b'yayin al yidei chatzaya chavis lo avikinogeh b'kana. He says, wait a second, isn't this like you're touching it through an intermediary, like touching the wine through a stick or a lulav or whatever, you know, all those other sugyas that we have? Because after all, when he's hugging hugging both sides of the barrel, isn't he just using the two halves of the barrel to touch the wine? He's squeezing the wine with the two halves of the barrel. So he says, nah, this is not kinogea bekana. It's also mishachshich bekana, v'lacha laka shechshuch midi. Because over there, when you touch with the stick, you're actually manipulating the wine with the stick. You're actually upsetting it. You're moving it around with the stick. Over here, he's just squeezing it to hold it in place. So in Achinami, there's wine on the other side of the barrel, right on the inside of the barrel, and he's touching the outside of the barrel, but he's not actually moving that wine in any way. He's just keeping it. He's keeping it from moving. So that's why it's not considered shichshuch, and therefore it's mutter to sell to novik chavim. Says Gemara, v'hani mili depaka liorcha. That's if the crack in the barrel developed along the length of the barrel. Aval lepusya afiluk b'shtia shari. But if the crack developed along the width of the barrel, then it's mutter even to drink. Forget about hana. It's mutter even to drink. My taima, my salavena kavin. Because if it's along the width of the barrel, it's simply he's providing a little extra gravity. He's like a brick that just puts a little extra weight on the top to hold it down. He's not holding it together. He's just putting a little extra weight to hold it down. So that's considered a totally insignificant act, and therefore the wine is still mutter to drink. Hahu avid kachavim, there was an avid kachavim, dishtakach tava ka'i b'ma'atzarta, that they found him standing in the wine press, in a Jew's wine press. There was no wine in the wine press at the time, but as things that have a lot of liquids on in them all the time sometimes are, it was wet. It was moist. So the shayla is, what about, what do you do to kasher the wine press? So amravashi, i'i katofeich lat piach, if there's enough wine in the wine press that it would moisten the guy's hands or feet or whatever's touching the wine press to the point that he could make something else wet, so then then you need to rinse the whole wine press from all the wine that's in there right now and dry it out, and then you could do another run. Then it's kosher. But if it's not moist enough, the amount of moisture that's there now is not enough to moisten him to the point that he's able to moisten something else, then all you need to do is rinse. You don't need to dry it out. The rinsing alone would suffice. Now, a couple of interesting tosin over here. First one, baya hadachu baya nigov, tosin says, the truth is, once you're telling me that it needs to be dried out, it's pashut that it needs hadacha. You don't dry out the wine when the wine is wine, because some of it's going to stick, it doesn't work. Hadacha, nigov is only effective if you first did a hadacha, if you first hosed it down. So, b'chinam hiskir hadacha, the kol nigov tzarech shitin mayim tchila. Any drying is going to involve putting water there first. El lefisha yirotza lomer v'yilo ba'adacha sagi, nakat hadacha. The only reason we mention hadacha in the first half, when we talk about a very moist wine press, is because we're going to have to mention hadacha when we talk about a wine press that's not so moist. So we already introduced the concept of hadacha. Kasav Rashbam, umiyu anan lo avdino niguv bigasiyos shalov de kachavim, ela hadacha bi'alma, v'samchina narayu sheperek achrom. Rashbam says, very interesting, although this Gemara doesn't seem to have any chalik, no one seems to argue over here, the Gemara just says, straight up halacha of Ravashi. Rashbam says, yeah, but we don't pask in this way. We're not as machmir as this, we're more mekel. We don't even require a niguv. All we do is a hadacha, no matter how wet the wine press was. Why do we do that? How could I go against Nafna Gemara? So he says, you'll have to wait 2 weeks to find out. But in 2 weeks, we're going to bring rayas from the Gemaras that we're going to have later that show that there is a cholik on this Gemara. Even though there's no one that's cholik here in the Samacham and Beis, doesn't mean that there's no one that's cholik anywhere else. So there is a cholik on this Gemara, we'll have to wait and see. Next tosos, ika tofech lat piach, frek tosos tema, hecha deleka tofech al menas lat piach, icha, so he says, I don't understand. When it's not that moist, when it's not moist enough to make your hands or feet moist enough to make something else moist, if it's not, is that called yayin or is it not called yayin? That level of moisture, is it wine or isn't it wine? So frek tosos, hecha deleka tofech al menas lat piach, icha shav yayin legabe nisuch, if it's called wine in regards to nisuch, and therefore would cause a problem. So you should need everything. You should need to rinse and dry and do the whole kashering process. The ilav yayin hu, and if it's not considered wine, then you shouldn't need anything because it's not wine. So Pirush Rashbam de Pshita de Yayinu. No, no, it's definitely called wine. V'shayich po nisuch, avu mikol makom hu enu chibur la osa b'lua b'toch hagas. It is Shayach Nisuch, and it's called wine, and that wine itself is Asr. Question is that enough of a connection? Does that moisture create enough of a connection to the wine that's sitting in the pool at the bottom of the wine press? Meaning, something could be considered wine, it could be considered Asr, but over here there's a different set of halachos. There's not only the halachos of whether this wine itself is Asr, but of whether it's considered connected to something else. You need at least Tofech HaMenas Latpiach to make it considered connected to another body of liquid. So that's where the Tofeach HaMenas Latpiach Chilik comes in our Gemara. New Mishnah. Ovid Chum Shenimsa Omid Bitzad HaBar Shal Yayin. Let's say you find an Ovid Chum standing right next to a Bar Shal Yayin. Im Yesh Lo Milva Lav Aser. So if he has a Milva on the Yisrael, then it's Aser. Meaning, if the Jew owes the guy money, then it's going to be us. Then that wine is considered aser. Why? Because the guy has no fears of touching this wine. The wine belongs to a Jew. That Jew owes the guy money. Now, if if that's the case, the guy will touch the wine, and if he figures if he gets caught, he'll just say, "Okay, fine. So the wine is mine now, and now you don't owe me the money. Now I'll take the wine as payment for the money." So he has no fear of touching the wine and of dealing with the wine, and therefore, even though we didn't see anything, he's just omid b'tzad habar shel yayin. We have to worry that maybe he did touch the wine, he did deal with it. So im yesh lo milva lav aser, but ein lo milva lav mutar. But he certainly doesn't want to have to pay for your wine or get you upset that you cost him that he cost you your wine. So if you don't owe him any money, then it's going to be mutar, because he would never touch it. Nafal bar va'ala. Let's say he fell into a bar and then he came out. He fell into a bar of yayin. He wasn't trying for this. He just slipped and he fell into a bar of yayin. So madda bakana vihitis a satira bakana. Or let's say he was measuring it with a stick, and while he had the stick in there, he knocked out a hornet that was stuck in the wine with the stick. So he moved it around a little to get the hornet out. Oshay matpiach al pichavis murutachas. Or let's say the wine was bubbling over by the mouth of the barrel. In all these cases, they said, okay, you could sell the wine, but don't drink it. Rabbi Shimon says, Mutter, Natal Sachavis Vizarka Bechamasa Labar, Zaya Maisav Echshiro. If he took a barrel and he threw it because he was angry, so he needed to throw something and he threw it into a bar, so that was a Maisa that happened, and they said that was okay, that that's not going to be Aser. It's interesting, in this case of Nafal, that he falls into a bar, there's the major discussion in Nida about that. If the Shulchan Aruch talks about, if let's say a woman fell in to a mikvah, she didn't have any kavanah to be tovah, she just fell in, is that going to be is the tefila going to be ola or not? So you think it's like, when do these shailas come up? I remember when I was taking Nida shiurim with Rav Melech Shechter, Zichrono Livracha, Rav Shechter's father. I remember in the Bechina he asked like three questions on Nida falling into to a mikvah. How often am I going to be asked that Shaila exactly? You know, you wonder, but he was like very fixated on that case. He thought that was a very fascinating case. So Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva where a guy, there's a concept in halacha that a child of a nida is considered pagum in some way. Not a mamzer chas shalom, but considered pagum in some way. So someone asked Rav Moshe, I'm dating a balas tshuva, and she seems like a wonderful girl with great midos, alamailus, but her parents never kept taras hamishpacha, so she's definitely bas nida. So should I be concerned that there's some sort of pagam there? And even though it doesn't express itself in her own personality, maybe it lies under the surface and it's going to come out in our children. So should I be concerned about this? So Rav Moshe says, no, you have the right to assume that if she's such a balas midos tovos and she's so wonderful, that mistama, her mother did go to mikvah. You know that her mother didn't go to the mikvah. Her mother never even heard of a mikvah, but she heard of a beach, and she probably went swimming in the ocean once. So probably right before this girl was conceived, the mother was in the ocean, and that counts as a tefillah, even shalom bekavana, and that works. And therefore, that was Rav Moshe's way of comforting this fellow. But it's whatever. That's where you have this idea of falling. But over here also, the guy falls into the bar. He falls into the bar of yayin. So anyway, says Gemara, Amar Shmuel. We said again, what was the halach in the Mishnah? That if the Jew owes the guy money, then the guy guy is going to be afraid, the guy is not going to be afraid to touch the wine, it's going to be aser. It has to be that the wine was designated in advance as like an apotiki on that loan. That the Jew says, look, if I can't pay you, at least you'll take my wine. So then the guy is very comfortable with this wine. He feels like it's half his already. So if he's going to touch it, he's not worried. And then we have a Mishnah that seems to support that idea, that it's got to be that wine. That's the apotiki. Because we have a Mishnah, if let's say a Jew is mitahir the ayin, he makes wine and he purifies the wine and he produces the wine of an Ovid Chavim and he keeps it in the rishus of the Ovid Chavim. Valakos of those kabaldi machmaos, meaning the deal is as follows: the Jew's job is to make the wine, sell the wine, and then split the profits with the guy. So the Jew made the wine. He's got to sell the wine. He has not yet paid the guy for his for his grapes and wine press and whatever else. He hasn't paid the guy for anything yet. But the guy says, you know what? Normally I would never let the wine out of my sight until you pay me. But for the sake of you selling it, I'll let you go and sell it, and I'll count it kilu skabalti. I'll count it as if I was paid already, vis-a-vis the idea that you're allowed to take it out of my rishus. So then, that's mutter. The wine is going to be mutter. The guy's not going to touch it while it was in his rishus. But if the guy would not let the Jew take it out of his rishus without paying for it, then even if it was left in the guy's property, in the guy's possession for a short time, it's going to be usher, because we assume that the guy feels a sense of bilus over it, and he's going to touch it. So time of day manicho. The reason is because he wouldn't let him take it out. Hamanicho. But if the guy would let the Jew take it out without paying for it, then shari. Then it's going to be mutter. Shmamina milval osoyain bein and shmamina. So you see from there that you need milval osoyain. How do you see from there that it's the guy is only going to be a comfortable touch it if it's milval also yayin? So if you look at Rashi, zayim ma'aser beishan v'asur to kivin diyeshul milval also yayin my debayi avid avol milva she'ena also yayin k'misha in lo lavchov dami. When it's not on that wine, he's not going to be so comfortable. The ketani reisha halak kosiv lo skabaldi machmaus mutter. If he says I counted as if you paid me already, it's mutter v'hacha diyeshul milva demei hayayin alav. Over there, that case is a case where there's a milva. There is a loan. The money, the value of the wine, is owed to the guy. But what was the defining point of when we assume it's us and when we assume it's mutter? When we assume the guy would touch it, if the guy feels that this wine can't leave my possession without you paying for it, so that's called milval osayayin. That's when it's going to be usher. But if it's not milval osayayin, the guy says, "Yeah, this wine can go. You'll pay me back some other way." Then it's going to be mutter. So it's an exact parallel of the case of milval osayayin. We'll pick up from the Zudat tomorrow, Bez Hashem.